Good morning. It's April 20th, and thanks for joining us at RTM News. I'm Rianne Campbell with Temi Dada and Michael Linnanen. And today, our team will be giving you the latest news, sports, and entertainment from East York, Toronto, and around the world. It's 6 degrees and raining today as we inch closer to putting winter behind us. We'll head into the newsroom after a quick message from our sponsors.
Think you have an edgy, bold style? Then take a ride in a Lexus RX 350.
295 horsepower, six-cylinder engine, glide through the city streets. Sophisticated style and luxury interior. Set yourself apart from the rest.
Starting from 55,000, dare to be different. Lexus RX 350.
Here's what's making headlines. Ontario is introducing new housing measures to cool down the housing market. Leafs lose game four of the playoffs, and Canadian filmmakers write a heated letter to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
It's 11:32, and here's what's making news. The Toronto Police Union is asking the City of Toronto not to give the $260,000 grant to Pride due to the organization's decision to exclude police floats from its annual parade. In a statement by the LGBTQ members of the police union, they said it is unacceptable for the city to be a sponsor of an event that doesn't welcome police. They said, if Pride wants to have an exclusive event, then they shouldn't rely on taxpayers' dollars. In other local news, the Ontario government has just announced new housing measures to cool down the housing market. The province will be introducing a 15% tax for foreign owners in an attempt to decrease foreign property ownership in Ontario. They will also be expanding rent control, where private rental units will be subjected to annual rent increase guidelines. The new housing measure will also give the power to Toronto and other municipalities to impose taxes to encourage owners to either sell or rent the property. And that's the latest news. Now here's Temi with sports.
Thanks, Michael, and hello, everyone. The Toronto Maple Leafs lost the chance to be a step away from advancing into the second round of the NHL playoffs yesterday at the ACC when they lost in a 5-4 thriller to the Washington Capitals. Despite Washington leading 4-1 after the first period, the Leafs tried to stage a comeback for a second straight game, but unlike Game 3, they came off short in the third period. The series is tied 2-2, and the next game is in Washington on Friday. The Raptors will be looking for inspiration from their Game 2 win on Tuesday when they take on the Milwaukee Bucks tonight in an NBA first-round Game 3 showdown in Milwaukee. With the series tied 1-1, the Raptors will be hoping to take the lead and would need two more to advance to the second round of the playoffs. The game tips off today at 8 p.m. That's all from me. Now here's Rianne with all the buzz from entertainment.
Thanks, Temi, and hello, everyone. High-profile Canadian artists and filmmakers sign a petition against the merging of Telefilm Canada with Canadian Media Fund. The artists sent a letter to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Heritage Minister Melanie Joly, expressing their discontent with the decision. Both organizations provide millions of dollars annually to the production of Canadian film and television. The filmmakers argue that the merger would result in a disadvantage for them because mainstream broadcasters don't invest in theatrical films and rarely air them. But the federal government's push to merging the two agencies could save about $50 million in administrative, among other costs. And tennis superstar Serena Williams confirms she is expecting. Williams posted a Snapchat yesterday in a yellow bathing suit showing off her baby bump, captioning the photo, 20 weeks. Spokesperson for Williams confirmed in an email statement that she's pregnant and due in the fall. Williams is engaged to Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, who proposed late December. Williams won her 23rd Grand Slam title at the Australian Open in January. She hasn't competed since following a knee injury. Stay with us because coming up in RTM News, we'll take an in-depth look at the criminalization of black youth in Toronto, hear what it's like to start a new life in Toronto as an international student, and talk about Via Rail's execution on the 150 youth pass with special guest Christina Stepanek.
Are you tired of drinking alone? Do you not have any friends to head to the bar with? Well, never drink alone again. Introducing Peanut Meow Cat Wine. Yes, That's right, a wine for your cat. Now your only friend can join you for a drink. Who says being a cat person has to be boring? Coming soon to stores near you.
Hi again, I'm Rhianne Campbell, and you're listening to RTM News, live from the East York campus of Centennial College. In this segment of RTM News, we start with an issue affecting thousands of youth in the GTA. As the Toronto Police carding topic was and still is a huge debate in Toronto, we take an in-depth look into the criminalization and how institutions are perpetuating it. I sat down with social worker and PhD candidate Kamisha Siblis, who spoke to me about the education system and how it has a role to play in the criminalization of Black youth in Toronto.
I just wanted to start off by saying thank you again for your time. What do you think about the education system? Is it biased against Black youth?
In my experience as a school social worker, I've certainly noticed that that disproportionately our Black youth are being targeted for harsher discipline, more frequent discipline, and police involvement, exclusion, expulsion. I've actually worked in the expulsion programs at my board, and certainly when you look at the composition, the racial composition, you would find that there are the majority of its composition is Black males. So I would say yes, and given the purpose of schooling in this country as one of the primary socializing institutions, I would say that it wasn't necessarily structured as an inclusive institution for Black bodies. And so there are mechanisms at work that that constantly sort of push our youth to the fringes, to the margins of the educational system.
So what do you think are the biggest problems that these young people face?
The biggest problem that these young people face is, you know, there are so many problems, but what I would say is sort of extermination, right? And sort of this massive move, this massive sort of genocidal move against our people. And so I think that they're being targeted because they represent the life continuation, the virility of our the Black race, and so they are being, you know, targeted by the main institutions, being the education system, child welfare, police, so that we are sort of put in place, contained, or really, as I said, exterminated. And part of that is representation, right? And so they are regarded in a certain way. You know, they're regarded as dangerous. They're regarded as, you know, Black youth today aren't able, they don't have the ability to be seen as innocent, as children. And so that innocence is stripped from them, and they are sort of thrust into this world that is sort of attacking them at every turn. And when they become defensive, that is then misconstrued as you know, or sort of co-opted into this dangerous facade that people have constructed against them.
So in other words, essentially, they are criminalized.
They are absolutely criminalized. The representation of sort of the wilding of Black youth or the thugs, and how they are framed as being framed as the sort of the perverse rather than the mainstream, and sort of the negative connotations, so that those should be removed, and you know, to sort of represent us and show what is actually the reality rather than what is in the white imagination or what the fear is.
So is there any advice that you'd like to give any Black youth out there?
Just that the society that we live in is raced and gendered, right? Everything that we see, everything that we do, we are doing it in the context of our identities, and none of us are above those the politics of race and gender. So just to sort of be conscious of you know, where you're at and your positioning, and how it, in some contexts it will privilege you, in some contexts you'll feel you will be oppressed, and know that there are constantly these systems at play that you need to work to maneuver, but the first step is sort of to be conscious of that.
That was Kamisha Siblis. She's a social worker and PhD candidate. She was speaking to Rianne about the impact of Black youth being criminalized in Toronto. That was Kamisha Siblis. She's a social worker and PhD candidate. She was speaking to me about the impact of Black youth being criminalized in Toronto.
Moving to a new school or a new house could be difficult. What's more difficult is moving to a new country, where people move to new schools, home, weather, culture, and more. Amira Musabello, a final year international student at the University of Toronto from Nigeria, talked to me about settling in Canada and what it is like to be a Black Muslim woman in a new country.
Have you been here like before?
Yes, I first came to Canada when I was like 7.
Oh, is that the only time?
No, apart from that, we've come like a lot of times. So me coming to Canada is just like, I had a choice between like going to university here or the UK or the US, so I eventually chose here.
Yeah, why do you choose here? Like, what do you like about Canada, about Canadian people?
It's more about their acceptability. It's a very diverse community, like they accept people from all over the place, and I think me being Muslim and then you have like the whole US and UK putting people on terrorist lists and things
that's true.
Like before I came, there was a time I went to the US embassy and they actually said they were going to like do a background check on me because I'm a northern girl.
Oh.
Who might have links to Boko Haram.
Wow, are you being serious?
Yes. Like my dad is just like, we've been to the US so many times and you choose her and me to like single out, and they're just like, yeah, we can give your wife and her sister the visa, but you two are like, we have to do like a background check, and if we're not satisfied, we can like not give you. So my dad said, okay, just give me back the passport. If you do your check and you think everything is okay, then we can bring our passports. We're not going to let two people have visas and two others don't have, so it doesn't make sense.
So like, how do you think it is being a Muslim in Canada?
There's a lot of Muslims here, and I enjoy it because it's kind of like, you know that there are people like you in some sense, and you know like, yeah, I'm kind of safe. And in the US there isn't a lot of Muslims there, and I read this like article where it broke down how the US gives admission to universities. And one of the factors they look at is actually your religion.
Are you being so like, how different is it like being a Muslim here and like back home? I mean, do you enjoy the fact that you see like Muslims who aren't just Nigerians and like you see other Muslims from other races and stuff like that?
It's fun to see. It's like nice to see people from over there. But back home, I never was consciously Muslim.
Oh yeah, that's
true. In the sense that like, as a Nigerian, it's just like
we expect it.
Because we're very diverse people. We know of like people from other religions. Like my friends on Sundays, we go to church like for weddings. Mm-hmm. My family. Yeah, we go to church for weddings. When we lived in Lagos, there was always something happening in church. We would go. Like all our neighbors were all Christians and would go to their house and sleep over there. So it was that thing where
you identify yourself as
it's kind of like
Muslim.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're back home and you don't know, you kind of don't. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like being Black. When you come here, that's when you know you're Black.
Yeah.
When you're Nigerian, when you're back home in Nigeria, just like
exactly,
just Nigerian. You don't think you're Black, and you know you're African, but it's not like there.
It doesn't really hit you.
Yeah, until like when you come out and then people here and everyone is like looking at you because you have a hijab on, and then But back home, it was just so normal. Like, I never
just
knew.
Like how like you can receive salam from like your
yeah, and then
neighbors.
So it's very easy. I think diversity plays a very huge role in how society works.
So like speaking of like identifying with things common with you, do you look out for like an African community too? Did that help you adjust to life here?
I didn't look out for an African community actually.
No.
But like I knew when I first came, that whole thing of kind of knowing like you're different, and people would always ask you, where are you from? Where are you from? And then you get tired of always saying where you're from and explaining everything about where you're from. I had this phase where every time I saw black people, I literally just wanted to jump into their group and just be like, I'm one of you. I literally had that phase where every time I saw black people, I just wanted to. Like, there was this time, there was this girl, I used to see her around. I went to T Music. I wasn't even going into T. She went into T Music. I just went and I stood behind her, and then I saw she had a Kenyan flag bracelet. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, you're Kenyan, I'm Nigerian. And she's just looking at me, and I'm just like, don't freak out. It's just that I really need to speak to like somebody.
That was Amira Musabello, a 4-year international student at the University of Toronto from Nigeria.
Three weeks ago, VRL introduced a Canada 150 Youth Pass in celebration of Canada's 150th birthday. Pass holders can travel all day one from coast to coast on the VRL network in the month of July. The high demand of this pass has made VRL's website crash for a period of time. It has disappointed many young Canadians across the country as they have spent hours trying to buy the pass. Some succeeded, but some did not. And that's not all. The ticket reservation for pass holders opened at 3 a.m. yesterday. Christina Stepanek is one of those who have successfully booked her tickets to travel from coast to coast, despite having her exam yesterday. She now joins us on the line from her home in Hamilton, Ontario. Good morning, Christina, and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So, many people did not manage to get their confirmation email despite some of their payment went through with the bank. How did you manage to get your pass?
Well, it was really stressful. I was on the website for like 5 hours at least, and every time I got to the payment page, it crashed. And actually, the same thing happened to me that happened to a lot of people where the payment went through or it showed as pending, but I didn't get an actual confirmation, and I figured I should try it again. Most people just stopped there, I guess, which is why they were refunded. But I tried it one more time, and I used a different card, like my housemate's debit card, and that time I got a confirmation finally, and the other one was refunded.
Oh, wow. And you've been calling the customer service multiple times. What have you learned from them?
I've learned that there's no consistency in their customer service, that some of the reps hear one thing and others hear another thing, and they just really... I had a rep tell me that I probably know more than them. So.
Oh, wow. How was the booking process for you yesterday night? Were you afraid that there won't be enough supply to fulfill the demand?
I was extremely anxious about that. I was watching, like, I've been following how many seats were left on trains, or rather if there were seats left on trains that I needed for the past few days. Mm-hmm. And I saw that some of them, like, to go to Montreal, for example, were selling out before we could even book. And So I called them, and they reassured me that they were going to be adding more seats. But, like, it's kind of hard to trust them. So I was actually very, like, pleasantly surprised yesterday booking the tickets. Like, the website was a little bit slow, but that's kind of expected. But everything else, I finished it in a few minutes. I got all of the trains I needed, and... it was so much better than actually getting the pass.
Oh, wow. Good for you. And back into the pass confirmation email, they have a link to even suggest that you can make a reservation right when you bought the pass. Do you think it was misleading?
Yeah, it was definitely misleading. Like, I think just the fact that they didn't really advertise the fact that half of the pass bookers could book right away, but the other people have to wait until April 19th. I think that caused a lot of stress for people because they just, like, they paid the same. They got the same pass, but essentially they were second-class pass holders because they had to wait. And I think it was really stressful, that part.
Is this pass worth all the stress?
Yeah, definitely worth the stress. Like, in the end, I got all the tickets I needed. It was just a few weeks of being really stressed about whether I was going to get those seats. Mm-hmm. But $150, I think that my total before I put in my pass number, it showed that my tickets were going to be like $1,500. So Definitely worth it.
So in the future, if there's a similar deal by Via Rail, will you do this again? Do you trust Via Rail?
I do this. I wouldn't trust. I'd still be very cautious of everything that they say, and I'd book it right away. I wouldn't trust them if they said it was unlimited.
Well, thank you so much, Christina.
Yeah, thank you.
Christina Stepanek is a student that hopes to travel across Canada by train. She was talking about Via Rail's execution on selling the Canada 150 Youth Pass, which has disappointed many young Canadians. Via Rail has opened a ticket reservation yesterday morning, where she has finally booked her trip. A big thank you to all of our listeners for checking in with RTM News. I'm Michael Linnan, and from everyone here at RTM, we hope you have a great day.